Hello, friends. It's Jim Nance, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to Beyond the Clubhouse, a podcast hosted by my friend Garrett Johnston. He is a testament to one of the great things about this sport, the friendships that come from playing or even just talking about the game. And you're going to meet some of the characters that Garrett has gotten to know from this past decade plus that he's been covering the sport. You're going to hear from players, caddies, members of the media. You're going to get the storytelling, the golf news, the players' swing tips, and a whole lot of laughs. It's coming your way with this edition of Beyond the Clubhouse. Here's Garrett.
All right, what's going on, guys? This week, I got a short one here with Ludvig Åberg, who has so much potential, a superstar in the waiting, it feels like, right? He's never played in a major yet. As we go to Augusta, this is crazy how good this player has been. He turned pro in June, went to Texas Tech, and has just blitzed things since then, right? Goes to the Ryder Cup, gets picked by Luke Donald and Eduardo Molinari and a number of other people were like, this guy, his shots gained off the tee has been so good. You've got to look at this guy. And his driving ability is such a strength. But it's not just that. There's so many things that make him a great player. He gets that first win in the fall. So we got one PGA Tour win. He's got three top tens already in this calendar part of the year, 2024, when you look at this season. And he's played so well already this season. New venues. Think about this. Like, can a player who's never played in a major do well? Well, let's look at what he's done already on big-time venues. Think about TPC Sawgrass. He had 367s. In a top 10 in his very first time at TPC Sawgrass. How's that in competition, in a big-time event, signature players, the gold standard, as the tour likes to call it. Not too shabby. Played very well there. In the hunt, tasting the fire. He was actually, from day one, 67 on day one, he was really much in the mix that whole time. I know Wyndham Clark had the lead after two rounds, and I know Scottie Scheffler ended up leaving the place with the win, but Ludvig was right there, and I'm going to say his name a million different ways. It doesn't matter. This guy's so good. He's a superstar in any language, right? So look at what he's already done in some of these venues, other big-time venues, right? Pebble Beach, second place off the bat. He, by one stroke, does he miss out in a playoff to Wyndham Clark. I know it got called early, but I talked to Joe Skovran, the caddy for Ludvig, about what his thought process was, what they were thinking on that Saturday, and they thought, you know, we got to go for it, and they ended up playing a really good round, just came up a little bit short, but it is what it is. I mean, what can you do for a player like Ludvig? I mean, he's really had some great results in venues that are difficult venues. I mean, they're important venues, right? Is he ready for the stage? Well, I don't know. Based on how well he's played in these seven events so far, five top 25s, he's made all the cuts. That finish was second at Pebble. He had a 65 in the second round, 68, 65, 67. Not too shabby for a 54-hole event. First time playing Torrey on the PGA Tour. He goes T9. Not too bad. His distance is a big strength. We know that. So I did ask Joe Skovran, what are some of the strengths you're seeing out of your guy, right? You're with him inside the ropes. You know him as well as anybody, right? And this whole golf world is about to see a little bit more from him in the majors and in these bigger stages. And so Joe said, you know what? The biggest things, his big strength mentally is huge, right? He's unflappable is the word he used, right? Has a great attitude when things go wrong. He's able to bounce back really quickly, doesn't let it linger. Watch the way he takes shots as well, right? His brain is just, he's not cluttered. You know, the way he teed off on seven during coverage at Pebble Beach, he pulled the string. As soon as they decided, he gets up to address and pulled the string. I felt like within a second and a half or less. It was crazy to watch that back on social media on the PGA Tour's channel. This guy has just a really good mentality. But Joe said he likes his attitude. He just has a way of overcoming when things go south quickly, and we know how quickly they can go south in this game. The other thing is his ability to hit the ball high and super high at some of these major venues is going to be critical, and Joe knows that. Going to Augusta, a place that Joe has been 11 times in the past for previous players, obviously many of those times for Ricky Fowler, but Joe's going to be a huge influence, in my opinion, from what I see at Augusta, knowing some of the breaks on the greens, knowing the way the course plays. They went out and had a scouting trip and had a couple rounds the week after TPC Sawgrass. So they got to see it, and Joe said it was important for them to get some of those nerves out. I know that Ludwig, as we talk about in the six-minute interview, I got him at Bay Hill earlier this year in this chat coming up with Ludwig. But one of the things that Joe said was just get some of the chills out, get some of the nerves out. And that was a big part of them going out and scouting the course and seeing kind of where he's going to go, where the positions he's going to be, and some of the clubs he's going to have into these greens. So the strength being the two strengths, right, the unflappable mental side of his player, Ludwig. But the other thing is his ability to hit the ball high, right? And a lot of it is with long irons too and approach shots. You go to Augusta, they have a 7-wood, which they carry 265, okay? He carries his driver 310, 315 is what Joe was telling me. So it's already a weapon, but that 7-wood could come in huge, I think, on a hole like number 8. That was something Joe was thinking too. It's going to be tough to have an iron and to get that far down, but you may have a fairway wood, and a 7-wood is kind of a secret weapon for Ludwig as he gets ready for some of these major championships. So there's so much to look forward to, I think, if we're watching his career and seeing it progress. But this is him. It's not super long. I get that. It's only 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes. My short chat with Ludwig at Bay Hill. This is on Tuesday practice round. We caught up after his 9 holes in the morning. So this is around, I don't know, noon, maybe 12:30, just after lunch. But anyway, hopefully you get a sense of kind of what he's looking for, kind of goals for his career. I know, kind of put him on the spot. Does he view himself as an elite player? What are some of his thoughts on how he views his own career and what he wants to accomplish in the game? So we get into a few things we can be imagined in about 6 minutes. It was, you know, may feel a little rushed to you, but anyway, it's important to talk to a guy before a huge milestone moment, like getting ready for the majors, having never played in any of them yet. So anyway, here's Ludwig on Beyond the Clubhouse.
All right, Garrett Johnson here with Ludwig Åberg, and man, this is really an interesting time of the year for you. You've never played a major championship. You already got a Ryder Cup under your belt, but how do you look forward to Augusta National and what you have ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what I've been wanting to do for a very long time, and to be able to do that is I consider it being a privilege, and to kind of, I guess, pick my schedule a little bit more and be able to play these big events. So there's a lot of golf coming up, and I look forward to it.
Yeah. What do you know about Augusta National? Have you had a chance to scout it out? Have you been there in college? What are your thoughts on the course?
Yeah, we played it. I actually played it my freshman year in college. We took a team trip down there, and it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. I got to see the golf course, and obviously it was a little bit different in January when we played it to what it's going to be in April, but it was awesome. It was a cool experience, and looking forward to coming back there.
Yeah. Well, I know you got Joe Skavran on the bag, one of the great veterans in all of pro golf as a caddy. What is it going to be like having him helping you in some of these big major championship events at these big venues?
Absolutely. I mean, Joe has been unbelievable so far ever since we started working together, and he brings a lot of experience to the table. He brings a lot of knowledge and a sense of calmness, and obviously I trust him with everything that I have, and I think our partnership is going to continue to grow and become really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy that I would imagine would bring peace of mind when you're at a new place. You know, some of these new courses you get to, right, it would give you that extra peace of mind, you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like all the tournaments that I've played so far in a while, it's been the first time I'm playing the golf course. So that presents some challenges, and I think I did that quite well last year, but it was still quite difficult, and Monday through Wednesday becomes quite stressful in terms of that. So right. He obviously brings a different dimension to it, and it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. When you look at yourself as a player, and how would you do you see view yourself, I guess, as an elite player or somebody who really has a chance to be in an elite top level?
Yeah, I mean, I know my capabilities and what I can do, and hopefully I'll be able to show that on the biggest stages as well. But obviously I've known my own game for a very long time, and all I try to do is have fun and perform as well as I can.
What does success tend to look like for you when it comes to quantifying the way you want your early part of your career to go?
That's a big question. It's a great question. I think success for any golf players is obviously playing well in the big tournaments. That's what you want to do. And for me, I guess it's changed a little bit. Last year was more kind of getting my feet under me a little bit and getting more used to playing these bigger events. But now, obviously, as a competitor, you want to play well and you want to be in the hunt for winning tournaments. And that's what I try to do. That's what I try to prepare for, and looking forward to doing that a lot more.
Yeah. Speaking of being in the hunt, how hungry are you for that second breakthrough in the U.S.?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the experiences that I had last year with a few tournaments were, you're close to the lead, you're having the lead late in the tournament, and it's so much fun, and the nerves and the emotions that shows up, and I think handling those things are that's why you play golf, and that's obviously what I want to do again and again.
For sure. And last two things I wanted to bring up, Ryder Cup and then American culture. The Ryder Cup overall, like, what kind of takeaways do you have and pride do you have from that week? I know you were right there on 16 when Tommy, who's over here now, made that putt. I mean, how special was all that?
It was awesome. It was a really cool experience for me to get to know those guys a lot more, and to be in that environment. And usually say, if you can handle the Ryder Cup pressure, you can handle most things. And if you can play under that kind of, those kind of circumstances. And I felt like I took a lot with me from that week, and I felt like I handled it quite well. But obviously it's a little bit different playing these events now, but it's the same thing. And I'm obviously looking back at that as a very memorable week.
Is it nice to be in a team room like that? Ryder Cup Europe is one of the great teams in all the professional sports, so I'd imagine the team room is pretty cool. Huh?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you got the players, that the capabilities and the success that they've had over such a long time, and to be next to that and speak to them and understand that what they're doing is quite amazing. I just try to learn from that and try to improve myself.
Is there one favorite moment from that week for you?
It's so difficult to pick out one specific moment. I think there was a lot, you know, everything from the practice rounds together, and then obviously the first couple of matches was a lot of fun playing with Victor, and we had some good matches as well. So it was cool. Overall, a week that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and then just lastly, American culture. I know that it's taking you a little bit of time to understand the rules of American football, the NFL. You mentioned on gravy and the sleaze. What was hard at first? Like, what really kind of tripped you up with American football?
American football is a fun sport. It's probably my favorite American sport to watch, but it's just the rules. I didn't quite understand the penalties and the flags, and
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of timeouts and breaks, and I'm used to English football and soccer, and there's not a lot of breaks, and it's just go, 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 and that kind of took me a little bit off guard, but I'm kind of getting into it a little bit more. Joe is a big Chargers guy, so
big time.
I think that's what I'm kind of getting thrown into, I guess.
Well, it's in his blood, though, you know what I mean? He's from there. He's seen his team live and die through playoff runs over the years, which I know for you, Liverpool, right, has been a big thing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a big part of what I did growing up, and obviously enjoyed watching it and playing myself as well.
Thanks for your time, and good luck in the majors ahead here.
Thank you.
All right, big thanks to Ludvig Åberg for jumping on the pod. I thought there was just so much there. I love the American culture and how he gets into NFL football. Hey, I remember being a young kid watching, you know, NFL, and what is second and six? So, like, what are all these numbers? Like, none of it makes sense at first. What are the flags? What does all this represent? And the pacing is interesting. As a European, as a Swede, watching NFL football, yeah, there is so much starting and stopping. It's a play, and then 40 seconds of nothing, and then another play. So interesting to hear his perspective, a big-time Liverpool true football player, football fan, loves soccer. So good to hear from Ludvig, and it'll be interesting to see how well he plays, I should say, in the majors, as we get ready for, obviously, Augusta, big-time week with Augusta National. So hope you guys had a good blast listening to this pod, and we'll catch up soon on Beyond the Clubhouse.